You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. The House version of the Farm Bill barely passed by a margin of about 2 votes last week, and a Senate version is currently in the works. This piece of federal legislation is renewed about every 5 years and determines policy about agriculture and food assistance, like food stamps, or in California, we call it CalFresh, issues that are really important to us in California and our Central Valley. Today on the program, we welcome Nina Ichikawa by phone to help us break the Farm Bill down a bit. She's the policy director from the Berkeley Food Institute at UC Berkeley. Nina, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So I know this bill is a huge document, so I looked at the PDF and it's like over 700 pages. So for those of us who aren't going to try and make our way through that, can you give us a generalization of what the Farm Bill is about?
Yeah, sure. The Farm Bill is a huge deal, and it can be very hard to understand. I'm really dedicated here at the Berkeley Food Institute to making it more digestible for everyone. It funds almost everything at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, 80% of which is nutrition assistance programs like SNAP. It also funds insurance programs, grant and loan programs for farmers, conservation programs, trade programs. So it's really a huge ecosystem of support for our farm and rural communities, as well as families who are struggling to have enough food to eat. So it's a huge bill that affects a lot of lives in food and farming.
Definitely. And so I know the big point of contention in the House version, when it came up for a vote, it didn't pass and then, you know, went through some iterations. But is it this expansion of work requirements, which right now isn't in the Senate version, but specifically regarding the House version, can you talk about these work requirements and what that might mean for Californians who do rely on CalFresh?
Sure. Yeah, it was the proposals by the House version of the bill were shocking when they came out because they had multiple provisions to make it much harder for people that were eligible for SNAP to access those benefits. So work requirements were just one part of it, but the work requirements were about being much more strict on work requirements, shorter time frame, and effectively kicking many eligible struggling people off of the SNAP rolls. It also it removed many eligibility waivers that sort of allowed if folks were receiving low-income heating assistance or certain rental assistance, including members of the military who were receiving housing assistance. That type of assistance they were proposing would now act against you in receiving SNAP benefits. So actually, a letter was released by California Department of Food and Agriculture and California Health and Human Services Agency together in May, really expressing a lot of concern about what this would do to CalFresh, which is what SNAP is called here in California. The letter notes that CalFresh generates more than $12 billion in economic activity every year for the state of California. And by really clamping down on SNAP recipients, this would have a really detrimental effect on families and our communities. So they really opposed many of these amendments and changes. And this is what attracted many people's anger and frustration when it first came out. And why the bill died its first round, and it's come back, and it was now approved, at least by the House of Representatives side. So now it goes back to the Senate for them to discuss. On the Senate's version of the bill did not have such harsh requirements for SNAP recipients.
When it comes down to this bill, you know, making it into law, I mean, do you think that these work requirements will make it into that final version? Often, I think, as legislation going through the Senate, it kind of gets, the really contentious parts sort of get pared down a little bit. But I also know that the president, President Trump, is really behind these work requirements. So what's kind of the possibility that they stay?
Well, the fact of the matter is most people on SNAP are working. Mm-hmm. So the cruelty of these new and harsher requirements is that they may be targeting people that have mental health issues, that may have PTSD, that may have physical disabilities, that are not obviously visible, that are students. It's often more of a political posturing to obscure the fact that actually most people are working families and they're working very, very hard. So whether or not they will, I think that whether or not they'll live is whether or not the public is willing to accept this sort of hyped up narrative of people needing to be cracked down on, or if people really look at facts and data, which are that families and individuals that are on SNAP are on it almost always for a short amount of time as they need until they get back on their feet, and that they're almost always working at the same time. If data prevails, data and facts prevail, these requirements won't continue. Another part of it that people have noticed is that it's about shifting a lot of the funding to the states and starting a very new and expensive job training program at the state level. And this is actually what attracted the criticism of members of the House Freedom Caucus, Republican members who said that the HR 2 spent too much, and that these work training programs that are sort of untested and were not clearly defined in the bill were actually too expensive. So there's a real struggle among people about whether SNAP should, the Republicans are disagreeing about whether the bill should be a work program or a food program.
Mm-hmm. And so changing gears to actually look at the agriculture industry, for California, sure. What are some of the possible changes or impacts to farmers from this updated House version?
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that I think really might be interesting to farmers in California is the emphasis or what's happening to local food programs and also rural community programs. HR 2 failed to renew mandatory funding for certain programs that would help farmers serve local markets and has funded a lot of farmers markets in our state, programs like the Farmers Market and Local Food Promotion Program, Value Added Producer Grants Program, and also National Organic Program Cost Share Certification, which is to help pay for farmers to get organic label. We're the number one organic state, and we also have so many farmers markets that provide wonderful food in our rural and urban areas. And these programs were proposed to be cut quite drastically in this program. So they would definitely affect farmers in our state.
Wow. And I know at the same time, like, some farmers are really feeling impacts from, like, tariffs from China and, you know, which came after the U.S. put tariffs on steel and aluminum. Is there anything mm-hmm. in the bill to sort of relieve that pressure that farmers across the U.S. are feeling?
Yeah, that is a great question. You know, not to my knowledge, the trade title is part of the farm bill. But some of these new trade tariffs instituted by the White House are happening so quickly that there was not time necessary to incorporate relief into the farm bill. You know, for example, trade tariffs against even Mexico and Canada are trading partners, in addition to China that you mentioned, many other countries, and those countries promised retaliation against our agricultural products. It's happening fast and furious. Mm-hmm. So, no, there has not been time to fully incorporate relief into this farm bill.
And then I guess with regards to things that are going to get cut, I mean, when it comes to wanting to keep, you know, encouraging farmers to move towards organics or to, you know, participating in farmers markets, I mean, is there any way, like, is anybody going to pick up the slack on that? Like, maybe the state, or is it just, you know, if a farmer doesn't feel like they're being encouraged or they have the assistance from the federal government, they're just not going to do that? What's going to happen?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Well, there are other resources, but we pay taxes into the federal government. And it's long been understood that California, such a wealthy state, pays more than its share of federal taxes. So in terms of getting back our share to support California industries and California farm products, I think we're still far, far short. I think what we'll see, if those provisions go through, and it's still very much in play, if those provisions go through, we'll see that it'll be harder for smaller and medium-sized farmers and farmers of color, non-English-speaking farmers, and perhaps for larger farms, there will be, you know, maybe just a bump in the road, not such a big deal. But many of these programs were established to help more farmers, young farmers, veteran farmers get into farming. And that's why we think those are really important to be looked at. If we think that we need a real diverse farm economy and allowing lots of different folks to be able to farm, then we need to keep paying attention to these programs.
So far, it seems like, you know, considering this was like really contentious, is there anything in the Farm Bill that seems like an improvement?
Well, I think that the Senate version was much more reasonable. So, you know, we do always want to be cutting costs, and I think anywhere that we can cut costs is really important. One issue that was of hot debate this year is corporations receiving unlimited commodity payments and loopholes in the bill for some very large and wealthy agribusiness operations to receive multiple payments. So, actually, the House version expanded access to these unlimited subsidies for mega farms. This is something that we want to continue looking at. In terms of good news, I mean, it's good news that we're talking about these things, I guess. It's good news that a lot of the very harsh provisions of SNAP, people actually on both sides of the aisle raised their voices and said, this is too much. This is cruelty. This is cruelty to hungry children. So I was happy about the citizen engagement in it, and I did hear some very reasonable statements from members on both sides of the aisle on that. But we still do have a lot of work to do if we're going to get to a reconciled bill that is fair to all Americans, I believe.
All right. Well, I think we'll have to leave it there. But we've been talking to Nina Ichikawa, Policy Director at the Berkeley Food Institute. Nina, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.